that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto me and you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of who he is. I pray that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened so that we may know what is the hope of his calling.
Yes.
What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working and the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places.
Amen.
Far above all the rule of authority and power and dominion. This right here is us. We're above all that.
That's right.
Dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come.
Yes.
And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Man, that Ephesians, you know, man, it's such a powerful book. I listen to it all the time on audio. You know, I came to the conclusion this morning on the way over here that Ephesians chapter 6 and Psalms 91 need to be combined. You need to put them together.
Yeah, they go together.
We operate in complete authority. Jesus just gave it to us right here. I just read it. Mm. So thank you, Lord Jesus.
Glory to God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
This is the Father's house.
Amen.
This is not the hog pen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, this is the church of the living God.
That is it. Praise the Lord.
God's chosen people.
Yes. Amen. They are.
Called.
Amen.
Elect.
Yes.
Chosen.
Yes.
Blessed.
Amen.
With all spiritual blessings.
Amen.
In heavenly places. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we thank you, Lord, this day for your goodness to us. We thank you for this great assembly here this morning. We pray that you'll open our spiritual eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of your word this morning in Jesus' name. Give us revelation knowledge, an understanding of the word of faith and authority of a believer that we may be able to operate the ministries that you give us in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
For the horn before you get started, it's just two people we're so happy to see. Praise
Amen.
God.
Sister Amen.
Dixie, Sister Mary.
Amen. We are. Praise the Lord. God bless them. It's great to see them both. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good. It's good. It's wonderful. Praise the Lord. All right, we're in the book of Acts.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to get into some really, there's some really good stuff in this book.
Amen.
And we're fixing to get into some really good stuff here. Going to make you scratch your head, pull your hair out, all kind of things.
That's a little I got left.
Yeah. All right, let's see. I think I've got a mark here in chapter 5, verse 17 is where we left off, or where I left off last time. I'm going to go down a little bit farther here, and because I know that I'm not going to get too far ahead. We're going to go back and take some time on some of this stuff. But anyway, Acts 5 and 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Pharisees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, Go stand and speak in the temple to all the people, to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in prison, they returned and told, saying, The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now, there's a little mini rapture right there. They were taken from prison without opening the gate. They were spirited out of prison without opening the gates, and nobody heard anything, nobody saw anything. They were there 1 minute, and they were gone the next. There's a little rapture right there.
Just like Philip.
Just like Philip. Exactly like Philip. Yeah, just like Philip. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, you know, there you go. They were taken and they were gone. So, you know, this is wonderful. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Now when the high priest and the captains of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them. They doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told him, saying, "Behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And Pontius Pilate asked them, saying, Did not I straitly command you?
Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
You made an error.
Did I make an error? What did I say?
Pontius Pilate.
I said Pontius Pilate. What does the Bible say?
High priest.
It says the high priest asked them. So they're talking to the high priest. They're not talking to Pontius Pilate, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the high priest says, "Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in his name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Well, now in Matthew 27 and 25, we know that the crowd cried out, "Let this man's blood be upon us and upon our children."
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Isn't that what it says?
Mm-hmm.
Pontius Pilate says, I am innocent of the blood of the, I am clear of the blood of this innocent man."
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd says, "Let his blood be upon us and upon our children."
Jesus.
All right. Just want to get this straight now, who we're talking about here. And then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men.
Amen.
The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom Romans slew and hanged on a tree."
No.
"Whom ye slew and hanged on a tree." Okay, so now we got to keep this straight now. Because there's history is being rewritten. It's not just history, it's scripture that's being rewritten.
Yeah, it is.
It's scripture that's being rewritten.
Right.
Well, some of this right here is a little dangerous too, though, because see, some of this, what you're talking about right here, on replacement theology, has caused a lot of people to be murdered.
Am I talking replacement theology, brother? Did I say anything about replacement?
They hate the Jews.
Not everybody.
Many of them.
Not everyone.
Let's let the scriptures say what the scriptures say, okay? Let's let the scriptures, let's don't rewrite the Bible. If the Bible says Romans did it, Romans did it. If the Bible says Jews did it, Jews did it. Let's don't monkey with the scriptures, okay? I'm just trying to keep straight, because I know what you're talking about. There's a lot of preachers out there now that are preaching the Romans did it, the Romans did it, the Jews are innocent, the Romans did it, the Romans did it.
Yes.
That is not what the Bible says.
Not what the Bible says.
That is not what the Bible says. We need to know. We need to know what the Bible says, and let's stick with the Word. Glory to God. Amen. Let's stick with the Word.
But it's also because of that right there, people have blamed the Jews and they murdered a bunch of them because of that.
Well, now we can't help, I can't help what some people do.
That's the truth.
But now, you know, the scripture says what the scripture says. If some folks are going to just, do what they're going
to
do, but the scripture still says. The scripture still says what it says. The scripture also says an eye for an eye, but you got to take that in context. It also says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but we know better than to run out and do stuff like that.
We're not ready to go around killing people.
We know better than it. That's right. We know better than that's right.
You gotta walk in love.
All right. So we know this stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So let's. But I'm just trying to keep everybody honest here now. Trying to keep everybody honest.
It's not. The Lord didn't come. He said he was going to bring a sword.
Right.
I believe that's what he said. So, there is going to be things that people are going to take and do things with the scripture that...
They've always done that.
God wants them to do.
I know.
You know,
So, but you can't change the scripture.
That does not diminish our responsibility to know the Word of God and to be straight on the Word of God.
Yes.
No matter what other people do, we need to be straight on the Word of God.
Amen.
Straight and true, and teach it and preach it just like it is. Let's don't make stuff up. Okay.
You're not supposed to judge me. They don't read the same Bible I do. You can spiritually judge people. You're not just supposed to judge them for doing something wrong, but you can judge people according to the Word of God. Because how would anybody ever, you couldn't say, well, adultery's sin because you're judging somebody.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of folks, that's exactly right. A lot of folks say, you know, you can't judge me. I'm doing all these terrible things, but you can't judge me.
The Word can.
The Word does. That is exactly right. That's right. The Word does. The Word judges. And we still can read the Word, can we? Can we still read the Word?
Yes, yes.
Can we still understand the Word of God? When the Word of God says sin is sin, can we understand that?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God. This is interesting discussion. All right. Now, so he says, Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be Prince and Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins.
That's it.
And we are His witnesses of these things,
Israel.
And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. So that's always the response, you know. When you're caught in your sins, when you're caught in an error, then you want to kill the messenger, right?
Every time.
Yeah, that's right.
Every time.
When you hear the truth, then you just want to kill the messenger. There you go. That's the thing to do. All right. When they heard that, then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. Now this is Paul's teacher. This Gamaliel is the man who taught the apostle Paul. He was Paul's rabbi. He was Paul's teacher. Paul said he was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, and he's a famous rabbi in the Talmud that he's mentioned various times in the Talmud.
To this day.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. He's famous to this day, absolutely. And said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thutis, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. And this man... After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For this, if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found to fight even against God. That's not too bad counsel, is it?
Good.
To him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, of course they had to at least beat them, you know, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, sorrowful and downcast. They were rejoicing. They were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Amen.
Worthy,
amen. So they rejoiced in that. They rejoiced in tribulation. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Shows I have a little note here.
You got a little note?
Yeah, I said this is an example of why God comes before government. God's over.
Amen, sister. God help us. That is the truth. That is the truth. God help us. God before government.
I really have a problem paying taxes because my taxes are going to fund sacrificing little babies. $4,000 a day. every day 4,000 are sacrificed in this country. I got a problem paying my taxes because of that.
We can understand that.
It's almost time for...
I would suggest you go ahead and pay your taxes, brother.
I know that.
Give to Caesar what it's Caesar's, yeah.
Just because we got a problem with
that. Can you say that again?
Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, yeah.
You know, Peter had a problem with paying taxes too.
Yep.
He said, should we, he was asking God, he was hoping, he would say no, because Peter taxes was due too. And he was hoping Jesus would say, Peter, we don't have to pay taxes. We're not from the, he said, render.
Yeah.
And he said, he told Peter how to go get the money. He said, yeah. Pay mine and
yours.
Yours.
Yeah.
So we do, because government was designed from God.
Yeah.
Government was God.
You think?
That was institute. The church, government, those are institutions from God.
You think that Caesar was not doing bad things with that money?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I know he was.
Caesar was doing bad things with it.
We're paying all the White House parties, all their liquor, all the stuff. Mm-hmm. We're paying for it out of our taxes.
I know.
But God knows in the spirit that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, so he blesses us anyway.
We're supposed to prayer too, because you're paying money to the government. You're more involved with it.
Mm-hmm. We're supposed to be paying taxes and praying.
That's right.
Amen. That's true, sister. That is true, Mary. That is true. We need to be praying. Scripture says, pray for our governors. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah, we need to pray.
Pay off our taxes, then it'll be used wisely instead of just...
Oh, that's good.
Well, that's good.
Good
right there.
That is
we'll
good.
We'll pay off our offerings.
That's good. That's right.
Sure.
Oh, man.
And then if they use it the wrong way, we don't pray them.
That's good. That's good. Let this money be, let my tax money be used for something good.
You know, that ought to set a limit on the government too, because if God don't require but a dime, then the government should require more than a dime.
Yeah, that'll be the day. That'll be the day.
Hey, that would be good. All they require is a dime out of
your. Yeah, we'd be in pretty good shape if that was the case.
Well, hey, but y'all, raise the military and take care of commerce. They're not supposed to be involved in anything else.
Hey, but y'all, look up the meal. We've got a kingdom, a government that's coming.
Amen. Mary.
That's right. We are, praise the Lord. That's true. We are. We got one coming, praise the Lord.
We got one coming.
That's right. Glory to God.
Perfect.
And it's not going to change.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
From president to president.
And it's already in spirit.
That's right. Glory to God.
Yeah. So we can rejoice in that.
Yeah, your whole life makes you good.